This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Welcoming my colleagues, Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy and Ambassador Hussein Haqqani of the Hudson Institute to comment on the Taliban. The headline from the Long War Journal, Bill and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal for decades, Iran and Taliban discuss, quote, joint action against Israel. Bill has filed this with Janatan Saya of the FDD. Bill, when I saw this, I did a double take. Am I reading this correctly? The Taliban and Tehran getting together to condemn and intervene in the Middle East conflict in and around Israel, not only Gaza and Hamas, but Hezbollah in Lebanon and the Houthis in Yemen. I could go on, the Kataib Hezbollah in Iraq. What is the proposal here about the Taliban and Tehran? Are they showing up with flags? Are they putting ammo on the line? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. Yes, I will actually say I was completely not shocked by this. And let me, before I answer your question, let me explain why. For years, for decades, Iran supported the Taliban with its insurgency in Afghanistan. I was a lead witness in a case that Cabrera v. Iran, where we proved this in federal court. Iran provided safe haven, cash, training, weapons, intelligence support, both inside and outside of Afghanistan. So Taliban here is returning the favor. The Taliban, you know, despite the claims that we heard before and during the withdrawal, but the Taliban is only interested in, you know, its local insurgency. It just cares about what happens within the borders of Afghanistan. Well, that's nonsense. Its support for Al-Qaeda and other foreign terrorist groups proves this. And now the Taliban is attempting to return the favor for Iran. And the Taliban also wants to get involved in this conflict because it bolsters its the perceptions in the world as, you know, look, it just defeated the United States and its allies and seized control of Afghanistan. And it's promoting itself as, you know, being part of the vanguard of the international jihad. So what they propose here, you know, Iran is saying to the Taliban, let's figure out a way for you to get fighters on the battlefield. The Taliban is considering this. And, you know, this, you know, in my estimation, is this realistic? I'm not certain. Is it possible? Certainly. It is certainly possible. You know, Iran border, there's a land bridge that exists from Afghanistan to Iran to Iraq, and then from Iraq into either Syria and then possibly into Lebanon as well. So you could get Taliban fighters on the battlefield. And they would serve as a strategic reserve, particularly if Hezbollah starts taking significant casualties, as if the anticipated war between Israel and Hezbollah takes place.
A martyrdom division, Bill? Do I read that correctly? Who makes up the martyrdom division?
Well, and again, there's no shortage of so-called martyrs for the Taliban. The Taliban, John, we documented this for years on your show. The Taliban has been running training camps for special forces, and some of them include what they call their martyrdom brigades. These are units that either conduct what I've termed to be like suicide assaults or raids where they don't intend to come back, or actual suicide bombings, either with vehicles or vests. So the Taliban has these capabilities. They've used them extensively in Afghanistan during the 20 years of its insurgency and ultimate victory. And yeah, I don't discount anything. When the Taliban makes claims like these, you know, John, I was dismissed by a lot of people in the military and intelligence for documenting these training camps and what the Taliban was doing in the hinterlands before it made its final push to take control of the country. You have to take Taliban threats seriously because they've proven that they will act on these threats, and they've proven that they've had the capability and the will to execute attacks and to be able to plan strategically.
Mr. Ambassador, good evening to you. Since the retreat, the fiasco of August of 2021, you and your colleagues have watched very carefully how Washington has dealt with the Taliban story, usually for partisan gain or defenses. However, right now we have as Bill just explicated, Tehran and Kabul working together in some fashion to intervene in a conflict that the U.S. is heavily committed to helping Israel fend off the attackers. Has this been discussed for the last 3 years, Mr. Ambassador, this possibility in Washington? Good evening to you.
Good evening. My observation about Washington, and I must say I'm one of those who is rather frustrated about it, is that it's only about a very short-term perspective on global affairs. This has become the American norm, at least in the last few years. We saw the 2016 election, no serious discussion of foreign policy. President Trump basically talking only about, you know, we don't want to waste money anywhere else in the world, not thinking strategically, not talking strategically. Hillary Clinton sticking to old talking points. We saw that President Obama had started retrenching American power significantly. There was an assumption that after the death of bin Laden, the score of 9/11 has been settled. No serious attempt. Bill Rogers' Long War Journal and some of us who write about these things, notwithstanding, no serious effort in the policy community to try and understand the mindset of those who attacked the U.S. on 9/11. So, if you remember, at that time, Afghanistan had been written off. The Taliban were this people in this backwater, medieval people who cared about them, yet they were supporting Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda attacked the U.S. And while an attempt to degrade that movement was done, no attempt was made to ensure that it is not, its ranks are not replenished. Some of its leaders, as Bill rightly points out, went off to Iran. Again, an oversimplification. Iran is Shia, Taliban and Al-Qaeda are Sunni. How will they cooperate? As if Muslim history has to follow exactly like the Christian history and the relationship between the Catholics and the Protestants. It doesn't. There have been other occasions when, for example, the Crusaders came, the Shias and the Sunnis got together against them. So these are things that people don't understand, don't want to discuss. And right now, the bandwidth for such discussion is very narrow in Washington, D.C. We've seen terrorist attacks in Dagestan, in the erstwhile Soviet Union, in the Russian Federation. We are seeing more terrorist attacks inside Pakistan because Pakistan is the big prize for the jihadis. If they can take control of the government completely rather than just sharing some power there, they would have advantages of having access to a nuclear arsenal. These are all bad signs. And to answer your question, there is no serious discussion of them in Washington, D.C.
Bill, the book by Jared Dunleavy and James Hassan about the day of the disaster, the retreat in August of 21. There are remarks in that book by officials at the time and officials since then saying we're leaving Afghanistan because we've defeated Al-Qaeda. No serious look at the possibility that the Taliban would quickly convert into being allies of whatever the jihad represented at that moment. This latest report about Tehran and the Taliban working to intervene in some fashion, a martyrdom division in the Middle East, suggests that at the time, that was the major concern about staying deployed in Afghanistan, so that the Taliban would not create the conditions that we are now reporting. I don't remember that being mentioned by CENTCOM, by the White House, by the State Department, by Congress in August of 21. Did they consider that the Taliban is a predator?
John, first, Ambassador, Haqqani is absolutely correct. And that plays into the answer of your question here. No, there was no forward thinking at the time. And even before, you had three successive presidents. President Obama wanted to leave Afghanistan, but recognized he couldn't get a deal with the Taliban. President Trump signed the Doha agreement, but never pulled the trigger on the withdrawal. And President Biden executed the withdrawal. They just wanted to leave Afghanistan. And in order to get to that point, and again, this is something we talked about for years, they essentially lied about al-Qaeda's strength in Afghanistan, the Taliban's relationship with al-Qaeda, the Taliban's relationship with Pakistan's military and intelligence services. Well, actually, that one they were truthful on, but for some reason, that wasn't a problem. And they downplayed the Taliban's relationships with Iran and al-Qaeda's presence in Iran. And because of all this, they convinced themselves and they convinced the foreign policy community, you know, minus individuals like myself and Hussein, Ambassador Haqqani and a small group of us, that it was okay to leave Afghanistan, that what happens in Afghanistan stays in Afghanistan, that the Taliban was only a local threat, that they were not a threat to the international community. And here we are today, the United Nations for the last year has been reporting that al-Qaeda is running training camps in Afghanistan, safe houses, madrasa, or religious schools, weapons storage depot. This is happening with the support of the Taliban. You have the Taliban cooperating with Iran. You have Saif al-Adel, the emir of al-Qaeda, telling foreign fighters or supporters to come to Afghanistan so that they can get experience and training so that they can wage jihad throughout the world. If that is a Taliban that isn't a threat, that because Taliban is sponsoring and supporting al-Qaeda, then I don't know what is. Our foreign policy betters, so-called betters, who have led us to this policy, they've misled everyone. And they did it intentionally in order to execute a withdrawal from Afghanistan. The U.S. was going to leave Afghanistan. Consequences be damned.
I'm speaking with Bill Rajo, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, a senior fellow keeping the Long War Journal with his colleagues, and Ambassador Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute. And when we come back, another player in the Middle East conflictions, that would be Turkey, and Turkey and the Taliban. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batten.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.